Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 67, stanzas 1 through 5. Lord, to me thy ways make known, guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou, my Savior, art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 1 through 5 of Psalter 67. Scripture reading for this morning hour is once again from the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 20, but first, and we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took her, and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. The Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Kevin Slump, who were blessed with a well-born girl in this past week. Both Riley Rosendahl and Chad Outshorn have been in the hospital. Also Dustin Grisnick. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God of the heavens and of the earth, we, as the creatures that dwell upon thy footstool, attempt to draw near unto thee who are holy, who are sitting in thy majesty. About thee, the host of heaven, and those whom thou hast created as the angels, that do continually serve thee, and also those of thy own redeemed church, that may be about thy throne even in this day, to magnify and to glorify thee, knowing from what they have been delivered. Lord, there is also yet a militant church, and that is still here below in this world. Wilt thou also yet remember them? For them the warfare is not yet finished. Satan goes about to seek to deceive them, if it were possible, and to snatch them from that way of free and sovereign grace, wherein thou hast in thy mercy been pleased to bring them in. And Lord, thou knowest that they can never fall out of that state. But Satan is so busy to attempt to bruise thy heel. Oh, that thou may look upon thy people in the days in which they still have here below, before that they are delivered from all strife in this world, before that they are delivered from themselves and from sin and from Satan, and from this world which causes them so much sorrow as it is dwelling within their hearts. And yet, Lord, thou knowest also the condition of that church in the day in which we live. And then there are so few that are able to die with that portion that thou hast given unto them. And then there are comforts for the time. But it is also so necessary that they receive what they stand in need of, to stand before thy great judgment seat, that they may receive the comforts of thy church by times here below in the exercise of that gift of saving faith, that they may be given to believe in thee and what thou hast promised, and that thou may never forsake the work of thy own hands, and that thou may deliver them from all their enemies. Lord, wilt thou also give direction, because it is a people who are so ignorant and who do not know the way, and thou hast opened it unto them, but then they cannot see thee so often because thou hidest thyself and showest not thy countenance. It is because of their own sin, Lord, wilt thou cause a true repentance, and wilt thou bring them again with weeping and with supplications. When they remember even in this day, those days of long ago, when they came up to thy house with the multitude and with the voice of joy and with praise. But they are in this day sad. Lord, may thou supply for thy people. And thou may lead them once again in the mysteries of thy divine grace, that saving grace that delivers from that pit of corruption that lies within. Lord, wilt thou teach more and more of the knowledge of self, that thou may reveal unto them more and more of thy only begotten Son. But wilt thou also look upon the little lambs? Lord, when thou hast given life, then thou must also sustain that life. Oh, thou must also give them to drink from the milk of the word. And Lord, thou knowest that we are thy servant. We have not run of ourselves. To bring forth thy word, thou hast commanded us, O Lord, to go. And thou hast also promised us that thou would give thy word in our mouth, that we may feed thy flock. Oh, may it be then, that we may be filled with the unction of thy Holy Spirit to give direction also unto those little lambs, that they may be led further upon that way of free and sovereign grace, and that thou would use us as a little tool in thy holy fingers, and for the upbuilding of thy church here below. Oh, are there not also those who are yet lying under that seal of election, who have not yet been called out of that darkness into thy marvelous light? Lord, may we be used also in this day as an instrument in thy fingers to call forth the dead, that they might live, and that they may begin to hunger, to thirst, to cry, and to sigh, and to groan unto heaven, even as it was with thy people in the land of Egypt, that they may be delivered from all their sins and miseries. Wilt thou then remember all thy people, and all of us together as we travel to that great eternity? Lord, what shall it be if these means which we may use, the reading of thy word, the preaching of thy word, would testify against us for all eternity? Oh, to descend in that last day with both soul and body into that bottomless pit where hope shall never come, a place of weeping and wailing and of gnashing of teeth. Lord, where that worm does not die and that fire is not quenched, oh, that thou may shake us up in this day, that thou may wake us up from the dead, that thou may give us to meditate on these most serious matters, the need of our soul traveling to a never-ending eternity, that it may be the day, O Lord, of thy good pleasure, and to strike thine arrows in our hearts, to draw us that we might run after thee. Wilt thou remember us if we are so unconcerned? Oh, stop us then in our mad career. Be with the young people, also those that have no desire in this morning, and week by week to gather with us, with their families, with their parents. Lord, wilt thou look upon them? Oh, then we as parents, we are so helpless. Oh, it all lies in thy hands, O Lord. Thou art able. And because thou hast the heart of kings in thy hand, of all that will not bow, but who will sit upon the throne and who rebel against thee, oh, thou can bring them down in a moment. We beseech thee to remember them this day, that they also may remember that way that they have been taught in the days of their youth. Wilt thou look upon all our youth, our children, and then also those who are afflicted. We remember also the young man from our sister congregation who is lying in the hospital this day. Lord, may thou be with him. May thou give improvement in his condition. Thou hast given a little bit of gladness in the day of yesterday. And when he may open his eyes, oh Lord, remember him. Open the eyes of his soul in this way that thou leadest him in. And wilt thou open our eyes also? And wilt thou strengthen him with his family also? There are children in our own midst. Oh, there is a new child. And we have read together, thou art the one who closes the womb, and thou art the one who opens the womb, and thou hast given new life. Oh, remember that little child. And wilt thou remember the parents? Oh, give them instruction from above in thy truth, and that they may bring up that child according to thy holy word. And those children also that have been in the hospital in this past week, wilt thou humble the heart of parents under all thy blessings, and may thou give strength where there are continuing concerns, and so that thou may remember the young lives together.
Lord, remember all of us this day. We are to gather in thy house. And we gather, O Lord, around thy holy word. And here we are before thy countenance. And we can give ourselves nothing. We deserve nothing. And no blessing from thee. Oh, who can put his hand in his bosom in this morning and take it out clean? Oh, it will be leprous white as snow. But Lord, oh, we beseech thee in this morning to take reasons out of thyself, to remember us in mercy, and to come with thy spirit. It is but the words of men, and that can come from us. But Lord, it is thy word that we must speak. Oh, may thou show that it is thy word, and that thou would stand above it, and that thou would apply it unto the hearts of our hearers and to our own heart. Forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 70. Psalter 70, stanzas 1 through 5. Judge my integrity. In the righteous judge thou art. Prove me, O Lord. Examine me and try my inmost heart. Psalter number 70. All stanzas, and the last collection today is for the disaster fund.
Congregation, the Old Testament is full of pictures. It is full of representations of that Messiah that was promised and that was to come in the future, the ceremonial law, with the tabernacle and the priesthood. That was in itself a preaching of the gospel in the time of the Old Testament. And then it was necessary that there would be in that time representations, that there would be in that time pictures, as it were, for these people that they may know something of that Messiah who was to come. That was necessary because that Messiah was not yet revealed in his person. Thus the people did not know who that he would be. But all of those pictures were also very imperfect. They were just carnal, earthly representations of things that were heavenly, that were spiritual. Last week, and then we heard about the sin of Abraham. That was not a sin that he has committed once or twice, but we heard that it is a sin that he lived in. Say of me, he is my brother, and that from place to place, thus a sin which was inherent in Abraham, and the Lord had to deal thus with his own child. However, at the same time, then Abraham is also a representation. Abraham is also a picture. So we wish to consider in this morning this history from a completely other side. And our text you can find in the portion that was read to you, Genesis 20, this time verse 7. Genesis 20, verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So far our text. Abimelech, directed to seek intercessory prayer. First, a dreadful declaration. Second, a gracious instruction. And third, a luring promise. Abimelech directed to seek intercessory prayer. First, a dreadful declaration. Second, a gracious instruction. And third, a luring promise. Behold, thou art but a dead man. That is what we say as congregation, a dreadful declaration. That is a sentence of death. That he is as good as dead. Did such a sentence ever come unto us? Perhaps in this life, when we have received news, for example, of an awful disease that is in our body, then maybe we have also received that same message. Behold, Thou art but a dead man. To whom does this message come? It comes to Abimelech. It comes to the king of Gerar. And who does this message come from? It does not come from man. It does not come from a physician, a doctor who can make a mistake that says there is no hope, there is no cure for you. No, it comes from the Lord Himself. That the Lord Himself has been pleased to descend and to speak unto Abimelech. In a dream we read by night. Behold, thou art but a dead man. Or congregation, may be that word that has come to you in a different way. Has that word ever come to you from the Lord Himself? That is, that you may be reading, that you may hear the preaching of the Word of God, and that the Lord comes to give the application, and that the Lord says also to you, behold, thou art a dead man. That the Lord brings that word home to you with power, that you hear it even as that voice of God. What does the Lord then show a person? Then the Lord shows him the reality. When the Lord comes, when the Lord will apply His word, then the Lord will show him what that truth is concerning myself, what my state is before God, what my condition is. What is that? Death. Condemnation. That I am without God in this world. Behold, thou art but a dead man. And why? The Lord says why? For the woman. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Where, congregation, does the Lord begin? With a sinner. The Lord begins with His holy law. For Abimelech, it was the seventh commandment. That the Lord speaks to Abimelech, that He brings His law, that the Lord says to Abimelech, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then the Lord says, you, Abimelech, are guilty. When the Lord is beginning, the Lord is often beginning with a single sin. Then the Lord is not beginning with that whole law of God. The Lord is not beginning with the entire corruption of our heart. No, very often that the Lord is bringing home a single sin. That the Lord says, thou art the man. That you are an adulterer. That you are a thief. That you are an idolater. Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Thus, the Lord is watching over His own institution. That institution of marriage. And what does the Lord say? The transgression against this institution of mine that is no light matter, that contains and that brings with it a very heavy weight, and that transgression against that commandment and that institution of the Lord that carries with it an irreversible sentence. Death. Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Ultimately, death, that is the sentence for every single sin in our life. What we consider to be the smallest sin, even the smallest thought of sin, that carries the sentence of death. Why? That is not so here in this world, when we go to the court before the judge. No, but when we sin in this world against man, and then it does not carry that same weight. But when we stand before God, that infinitely holy and righteous, just God, then every sin that is carrying that same judgment, that is death. And the Lord is not carrying out that sentence immediately. Otherwise, there is not one of us in this world that would continue to exist. No, the Lord is still sparing men. Though He is carrying this sentence with Him over the world. Behold, thou art but a dead man. But it is indeed going to be the final sentence that is pronounced against sin. But sometimes, then we read that the Lord is carrying out this judgment already quickly in this life. Why? For His own reasons. That is, for the protection, for the instruction, for the upbuilding of His own church. Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Abimelech is a heathen man. Abimelech is a man who has a religion of many gods, a polytheistic religion. Thus, this man does not know who that true God is. And yet, congregation, listen to what happens when the Lord appears to Abimelech. The Lord comes to Abimelech in this dream, and Abimelech knows, realizes, has an impression that this God who has come to him is the true and the living God. There is in him no question. The Lord appears to him in His majesty. The Lord appears to him in His glory. The Lord appears to him in His power. And the Lord impresses this upon that heart of this Abimelech. Every man in this world, young person, boy and girl, we have been created by God. And when the Lord brings man, every single man in this world, no matter what he is taught about other gods and taught to bow their knees to idols and that there is no God even, still every man as the creature of God is going to recognize in the judgment of God who he is.
Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? You would say, how is it possible that Abimelech gives such an answer unto God? Wilt thou slay a righteous nation? Does this man not have any conscience of sin? Does this man not feel that he is not able to stand before this holy and a righteous God? Will we then have an answer when we have to stand in that great judgment seat, that we are able to answer God? Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Abimelech does not say here that he is without sin. Abimelech does not say here that his nation, that his people, that his servants are without sin. No, but Abimelech is speaking here about one particular matter. There is one matter that the Lord has come directly unto Abimelech in. And the Lord has presented this sin, this matter, before the face of Abimelech. And now what do we see? We see that Abimelech is not conscious of any guilt in this matter. Congregation, what a blessing when our conscience does not testify against us. You know what we read in the Word of God? John says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Children, when your conscience does not condemn you, then you are not afraid to answer the call of father or of mother. Is that not right? When you know that you have not done it, then you are not afraid. That is now also the apostle says concerning the God of heaven and of earth. When our heart does not condemn us. What a blessing. When the Lord appears to Abimelech, in his majesty, in his power, as his creator, as his judge. And Abimelech still dares to speak. Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Then what is the Lord's answer to Abimelech's defense of himself? The Lord concurs with it. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. Congregation, what a comfort. Are you falsely accused by your neighbor? Are you not able to prove yourself to be innocent? Does your neighbor go from home to tell of your guilt so that you are not, in the face of everyone that comes against you, able to stand and to defend yourself? Here is now the comfort of such a heart that the Lord, he says, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. And not only so, but when things appear to men to be in a sinful way, because of whatever reason, the outward actions, then the Lord, He is still looking and the Lord is still judging the secret that is in the heart, the motive and the purpose and the desire and the intention that is laying within. Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. That is the righteous judge of heaven and of earth. It is also in the way of those who do not have such evil intentions, that we read here that the Lord is often keeping that people from falling into sin. Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Thus, the Lord standing with His hand to keep from sinning against Him, and when that heart that had no desire to sin. But when we are working that evil upon our beds in the night to practice it in the morning light, we read, then the Lord is leaving a man over to himself to go on in his wicked and his crooked ways. And yet, we read here that the Lord says to Abimelech, thou art but a dead man. Why is it then, when Abimelech does this in his innocency, when he did not sin purposely against the Lord, that the Lord comes to Abimelech and He says to him, thou art but a dead man? Well, the integrity of our heart and the innocency of our heart is still not able to take away the evil of the actual deed itself. Adultery remains adultery. And adultery is inexcusable in that holy sight of God. God did not make us ignorant. Thus, from our father Adam, we ought to have known what sin is and what sin is not. And thus our ignorance itself, that is a fault, that is guilt in that sight of God. And yet, that ignorance of the evil of a deed, that is indeed mitigating, it is lessening the guilt of a man. It is not one and the same thing when we do an evil deed without knowledge, or that we do an evil deed with knowledge. Paul says, I was before a blasphemer. I was before a persecutor. I was before injurious, injured people. But he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Thus, he says, there is a difference between doing it purposely and knowingly or doing it ignorantly. He did it ignorantly. But what does he say he still needed? He says, I still needed mercy. Thus, the sin remained a sin, and it still needed to be forgiven him. And thus, parents, teachers, office bearers, we also must discipline
But when we deal with sin, then we must make distinctions. Ignorance mitigates, it lessens guilt. But ignorance does not make us altogether innocent and without sin, because sin remains sin. And thus we with Abimelech still need what? That is mercy. We see that in our second thought, a gracious instruction. Now therefore restore the man his wife. That is the first part of the instruction that the Lord gives to Abimelech. And we say that this is a gracious instruction. Why is that a gracious instruction? Because the Lord does not immediately cut Abimelech off. And the Lord does not immediately cut you and I off as we deserve. Thus the very threatening of the Lord. Thou art but a dead man. That very threatening of the Lord is already containing a gracious instruction. There is grace implied in the very fact that the Lord is coming, that the Lord is warning, that the Lord is saying, behold, thou art but a dead man. Ananias and Sapphira, the Lord did not warn. The Lord came in his judgment and he cut them off immediately. And that is just. That the Lord may do so justly also unto every one of us. But what did the Lord do, boys and girls, to that city of Nineveh? He sent Jonah. Well, he even brought Jonah back by way of a great fish. Why? That he might have mercy on that city. And when Jonah preached that word, that included in the words of it nothing of mercy, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, still, the very fact that that message is brought and that Nineveh is not overthrown without warning, that very fact implies that the Lord gives opportunity for repentance. And therefore, what does the Lord do also here? He commands Abimelech to return, to repent, to turn from his sin. That is the first thing that the Lord says to Abimelech, you may not continue in this sin. Now therefore restore the man his wife. How much will Abimelech not add to his sin? As soon as he has been instructed in the sinfulness of this deed. Thus, as soon as we come to know, as soon as someone tells us, instructs us, that a deed, that a word, that a thought, that is a sinful thing, now to continue in that sin, that is adding guilt unto guilt. There is then a great increase in our debt. That is why the Lord Jesus says that those who are instructed and that know the way and do not walk in the way, those are the ones who will be beaten with many stripes. Is that not us? With all our privilege, with all our instruction, is that not fearful? Listen, what the Lord said to those who sinned presumptuously in Israel, the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. It is, congregation, a fearful, fearful thing to continue on in a known sin. It is so much different for us to sin than for the world to sin. Do you realize that, young people? Do you have worldly friends? And do they draw you to those same places where you know that you do not belong? And to do those things which ought not to be done? Remember this. They do it in their ignorance. You do it with knowledge. And therefore, your judgment, that will be very heavy. There are degrees in hell. There are degrees in hell. And the deepest pits are reserved for those who are the closest to the truth. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. The Lord says, Abimelech, this is now the first thing that is necessary. Repentance. To turn from your evil way. And know thou, when thou wilt not return, when thou wilt not give Sarah back to Abraham, that thou shalt surely die, and everyone that is dying. What a threat. Thus, turning is necessary in the first place. But then there is also something else. So what does the Lord say? He says turning is necessary. But he says it is not sufficient. It is not Abimelech enough. There is something more. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Your turning from past sin is not able to take away the guilt of that sin. What do you need, Abimelech? You need, Abimelech, to be forgiven. Who needs congregation to forgive him? Do you know that, boys and girls? Who needs to forgive Abimelech? That is the Lord who needs to forgive him. Well, who is speaking here? That is the Lord himself. Against whom has Abimelech sinned? He has sinned against Abraham, that was his wife. And he has sinned also, more importantly, against the Lord. It is his institution of holy matrimony. And it is the Lord now that is rebuking Abimelech. The Lord knows his sin. The Lord knows his ignorance. And it is the Lord himself that needs to forgive Abimelech. Thus, why does Abimelech need to go to Abraham? Why does Abimelech have to ask Abraham if he will pray for him? because it is the Lord's good pleasure. That is all. The Lord could have forgiven Abimelech without Abraham. The Lord did not need Abraham. But the Lord said to Abimelech, because it pleased him and he is the sovereign God, if you will be forgiven, then you must go to Abraham. And Abraham must pray to me for you. And who is now able to say to the Lord, the sovereign King, what doest thou? For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. What is that? A prophet. The Lord says he is a favored one. He is my favored one. Actually, it means the God addressed. That is, the one whom I speak to, and the one who also may speak unto me. He is the one who dwells in communion with myself. I reveal myself to him, and he speaks to me. James says of Abraham, he is called the friend of God. Prayer for another person in this world is called intercessory prayer. When we pray for someone else, intercessory prayer is commanded of men in this world in general. That we are commanded to pray for another. David says, pray for that peace of Jerusalem. James says, brethren, pray for us. And then it is also possible, not only in general, but also specifically, and that we are requested and asked to pray for one another. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thus, then it is right and it is proper when we beseech, when we desire the prayers of one another. But Brockel warns us concerning this thing. And he says that we must also be very careful with this thing. He says the practice is much abused in our days. And while he explains this, and he says it becomes so common, it becomes so light, that we say in general, pray for me. No, he says, then we must have a specific need that we are asking one another to lay before that throne of grace. But it is not something that ought to become such a common custom among men that we do not think about what we are doing and that we are somehow obscuring the necessity of that interceding high priest. That we are looking and putting a trust in that prayer of a man instead of looking and desiring for the prayer of God himself. This is now especially that picture that we see here in Abraham. That Abraham is here a picture of that intercessory prayer of that Son of God. For he is a prophet. and he shall pray for thee. This congregation is the work. This is the special work that has been given by God unto his only begotten Son. He is the favored one. He is the one who is dwelling in communion with God. He is equal with the Father, one with the Father. I, he says, and my Father are one. And now it pleases the Father that he may set that Son to be the intercessor for his church. And then it is the same as the Lord said of Job, that he says of his only begotten Son, that he says, him will I accept. Thus, this is the way of the Father to receive sinners unto himself. And then he is not only what we call a mediator of intercession, which men can be, which Moses was, to pray for the children of Israel, but he is also the mediator of reconciliation. That is, not only to pray to his Father, but actually to bring that people again into that blessed communion with his Father. So to actually reconcile. Therefore, he is presenting before God his own blood. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. A prayer which is heard by the Father. Therefore, congregation to be included. To be included in this prayer of that second person of that Holy Trinity, that is to be a recipient, a sure recipient of the blessing. Let us sing. Psalter 140, 1, 3, and 4. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. 140 stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. We say, congregation, a luring promise. What was that? That luring promise. It is the promise of life. And that to a man who is as good as dead. Behold, thou art but a dead man. The Lord promises him life. Is that not significant? And was that sufficient for Abimelech? What do we read? Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told these things in their ears. Abimelech did not waste one moment to seek that life from the dead because of his own sin. And the result? So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife, thus sparing life, the giving of new life in the womb, that gift of God who opens and who closes that womb. Thus far for Abimelech. And now, congregation, for ourselves. Life promised to Abimelech. And that was sufficient for Abimelech to do two things. First, to go back again. To take Sarah and to bring her back unto Abraham. And second, to seek the intercession of Abraham. How is it now for us? Life. Day by day, week by week, life that is set before us. And thou shalt live. Is that sufficient for us? Do we also rise up early in the morning? That we may do as the Lord has commanded us, and that we also may live. No? How many? And if not, why not? We know why not. It is because we have never become but a dead man. And when we have never become but a dead man, then we will not seek for life. Spiritual death, that is not our burden. Temporal death, that is not going to touch me yet. Eternal death, well, that is something that I just cannot comprehend. Behold, thou art but a dead man. This is now the first thing that needs to be brought home to our heart. that needs to be spoken unto us by God Himself, as it was spoken unto Abimelech. That is truth. That every man by nature, that every man, young person, boy, girl, here in this church, is called by God to believe. Because that is the truth by nature concerning ourselves. And we are called to believe the truth. No, we are not all called to believe that Jesus loves us. We are not all called to believe that Jesus died for us. That is not necessarily the truth of each one of us. But this, every one of us is called to believe, behold, thou art but a dead man in your state of nature. No, we do not say we are able to believe this. No, but we say we are called to believe this in truth. And if we never come to believe this, then we are never going to seek after life. Because we do not believe that we are dead. Oh, that it may become our supplication. Lord, speak unto me as thou spakest unto Abimelech. That thou may bring it home, Lord, also to my heart, that I might know it in truth, that behold, I am but a dead man, that I might also seek after that life with all my heart, that I might come to find, to receive that life. But maybe there are those that may have come to believe it. Behold, thou art but a dead man. Maybe the Lord has taken some point of His holy law and brought that law as an arrow into your heart to strike between the joints of the harness. That the Lord said, thou art the man. That the Lord says, you are covetous. You are a murderer. You are a Sabbath breaker. There the Lord is often beginning. So that we need to cry out against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And then there are two things necessary. Oh, if that is so, that the Lord has so spoken, then that first thing that is necessary you have felt. That is repentance. Now restore unto the man his wife. Oh, then you have been ready to restore 5 wives, 10 wives. Oh, if you could only make it good, then your heart is ready to turn from every sin in heart and life. But now we ask you, if that is so with you, and you must confess this before God in your own heart in this morning hour, as the Lord ever now brought you also unto that second part. For He is a prophet, and He shall pray for thee. What is it? all that is the need for the intercession of that Son of God. Oh, what do we need? What has to happen before we are brought to such a place? Then we need to come to an end of all our own repentance. Then we need to see it is necessary, yes, it is necessary, but it is not sufficient. Congregation, are there such? Then you have not merely sinned. No, but then you have become a sinner before God. Is there a people? Also in this, our own congregation, is there a people for whom this is a burden? Are there those who cannot find rest in your responsibility? Who cannot find rest in your repentance? That you see that there is no end for that need of repentance. That you are not able to cure that fountain out of which all that sin and that evil in my life, in my heart, that is flowing. And that I am not able to return into that blessed presence of that holy and that righteous God. Are there those that indeed have become a dead man in his sight and worthy to be cast out of his eternal and blessed presence? That very God, he has shown the way unto Abimelech, that heathen king. He said he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. He showed him where to go, and he told him how that he would be acceptable with God. It was not merely for the sake of Abraham and a temporal deliverance. No, but it is for the sake of his church. And for a spiritual deliverance. It is not only for the sake of Abraham, but it is also for the sake of that blessed Son of God. Paul says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. For he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. Who art but a dead man because of your own sin. That is now that salvation that he will be glorified for to a never-ending eternity. Amen. O Lord, thou who art that great prophet, and of whom it is said by thy Father, he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, O remember us too. O give us that true turning from our sin that is so necessary, but wilt thou also forgive our sin, and that we may be washed and cleansed in thy blood, and that so we may be received into the communion with thy Father. O Lord, hear us. We are wretched and miserable creatures. We have sinned against heaven. Oh, that thou may receive us in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Give thy word place in our hearts. Forgive all that was amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. 174 stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O all ye peoples, bless our God, aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 174. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.